he had kind of turned his back. He didn't want to have anything to do with the church. And his brother and his sister stayed on him. I'm sure Brother Herb was off in the war, you know, off somewhere in the military. And but one day the Lord touched Craig. One day the Lord touched me. One day the Lord touched you. He touched me. We're going to sing. And this could be every one of our testimonies. But you know, when he touched me, you know, the Bible says he must be born again. And when he touched me, I was different, folks. When he touched you, you were different. Let's praise him. He touched me. If you want to sing this with me, you're welcome to.
That we're in Psalms, we're going to cover a lot of ground, talk about a lot of different stuff, and I'm excited about that. I hope that you are as well. We're going to start today in Psalm 84. It's just cool the way God orchestrates things. We happened to finish the sermon series on Jonah our last week in the gym, and now our first week back in the sanctuary, we're starting a new sermon series on Psalms. So the first one that came to my mind was Psalm 84, where it talks about longing to be in God's house. And so I thought it was very appropriate. I don't know the exact number of weeks or months we've been out of the sanctuary, but it's been a while. And I was ready to get back in here. I don't know about y'all, but I was ready for us to come back together as a church family in the sanctuary. So we did a lot of cool things. You know, we had our drive-in service. That was fun. We had church under the oak. That was fun. We did in the gym for a couple of weeks. That was fun. Of course, at the very beginning, it was all online. And I'm thankful that God provided the means for us to still hear from His Word when this thing first broke out. So we worshiped a lot of different ways, but today we're back together in this sanctuary. And this sanctuary means something different to everybody here. It's special to us for a lot of different reasons. Some of you might have gotten married in this room. Anybody here that got married in this room? I know there'd be a few, yeah. Yeah, she was the first. Yep, that's right. She'll always be the first. So, and of course, so we've had marriages in here. We've had funerals and memorial services in here. Maybe you have said goodbye to a loved one in this very room. Maybe you got baptized in that baptistry right there. Maybe you walked this aisle, knelt at this altar, and prayed to receive Jesus in this room. Or maybe you prayed right where you were at. And so we all have different reasons for loving this room that we're in. So many great memories, and it's such a special day when we get to come back together as a church family and worship the Lord in the sanctuary. So we're thankful to be together in the sanctuary for all those reasons and many more. But we also realize that God's presence is not limited to a particular building or a structure. Amen? Amen. We love this room, but God is not limited to this room. Now in the Old Testament, at first the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, they were given instructions to create the tabernacle. And so they had a mobile church that they could carry around, and that's where they interacted and were in God's presence. And then later on, they built the temple, and they experienced God's presence there. But now, since Pentecost, right, when you pray to receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and the presence of God is with you at all times. God is wherever His people are. So the church is not located at a physical address. The church is wherever believers are. And I say that up front because I don't want us to overemphasize the importance of this physical structure in a way that causes us to lose sight of the fact that God is with us wherever we go. He's with us in this sanctuary. He's with us in our homes. He's with us at our jobs and in our schools. He's with us when we're in the hospital room and coronavirus has broke out. Nobody can be in there with you and you're stuck in that room alone. God is with you. He is Emmanuel, God, with us. And we want to keep that in mind while at the same time acknowledging that there's something special about God's family being together in this place. It feels good to be in the house of God, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. So we want to just remember both of those things. This church is just one of many churches around the world. Did y'all ever hear about the church on the island? Anybody? There was a man that was marooned on a deserted island. And he was stuck there for 5 years all by himself. And finally, a rescue team found him. And as they were pulling him up onto the boat, the rescuers noticed that there was three huts on the beach. And they said, hey, we thought you were by yourself. Why are there three huts? They said, oh, well, it's easy. The first one, that's my house. He said, the second one, that's my church. I said, okay, well, that makes sense. What about the third one? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. It's pretty bad when you can't get along with yourself. You want to deserve it out. He had to change churches. We don't have that problem here, thankfully. We get along real well here. This morning, I'm calling the sermon, Happy in His Presence. The psalm writer in Psalm 84 wrote about longing to be back in the temple because that's where they experienced the presence of God. But today, we get to experience God's presence wherever we are. But there's still something special about being together as a church family in the sanctuary. I really believe that you and I will be our happiest when we are closest to God. Amen. And I believe that God created the church. He instituted the church for us to be a part of that church. And we are much stronger together as a church family than we are isolated off by ourselves. So we come together as a church and we serve together. We hear the word together. We worship together. We disciple each other. And God uses the church to grow us, to make us stronger. So I'm so thankful for each one of you. So thankful for Pine Grove Baptist Church. I believe we'll be our happiest when we're closest to God. I like being happy. Y'all like being happy? That's a good thing. It's better than the alternative, right? I like being happy. So we're going to talk about being happy in just a moment. Before we do that, let's stop. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. Your word is so powerful, is so relevant, is so effective, it is alive. And I pray that your word would move in the hearts of your people today. I pray that you would speak to us and that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. God, we love you. We're thankful for you. We pray that you would be glorified in everything. We pray all that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up with me to Psalm 84. As we look at Psalm 84 together, we're going to see that we're happiest when we're in God's presence, when we make God our priority, and when we trust in God to provide and protect. So I just gave you all three sermon points. You go ahead, jot them down, and then relax. And just hang on, right? You see, we were created by God for God. We can find temporary joy in other places, but true, lasting, eternal joy is only found in His presence. So let's read the first four verses of Psalm 84. Together. Now you can follow along in your Bibles. We'll have the verses on the screen as well. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of armies. I long and yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home and a swallow a nest for herself where she places her young. Near your altars, Lord of armies, my King and my God. How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. All right, so Psalm 84 is a psalm of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah had a job in the temple. They were servants. They were sort of assistants to the priests. They did physical labor. They did things needed to keep up the temple, but they also contributed with the music in the temple. They sang. So they had a lot of things to do, but they didn't have access to every part of the temple the same way that the priests did. The way the temple was set up, there's different courtyards, and different people could come into different areas, but there were places that were reserved that only the priests could go into. And there was the Holy of Holies that only one priest could go into one time of the year. Right? So there was restricted access for the sons of Korah, but even still, they valued the temple above everything else. during this time in history, God's people could only experience the presence of God in the temple and through an intermediary, through a priest, right? Before this time with the temple, they could experience him in the tabernacle with the cloud by day and the fire by night, if you remember that from reading through the Old Testament. And now when we get saved, we experience his presence when we receive salvation through Jesus. But wherever and however God's presence is experienced, it's always good for the believer. It's better than good. It's better than anything else that you can ever experience is God's presence. Nothing else can compare to God's presence. And so because of that, I believe that we are happiest when we're in God's presence. That's point number one, if you want to write those down. We are happiest when we're in God's presence. We use the phrase a lot in our culture, my happy place. How many of y'all got a happy place? If you say my happy place, somewhere comes to mind. Anybody? I see a few hands going up. So some people you say my happy place and they just think about, you know, in their den or their living room surrounded by their family, right? As long as they've got all the kids and grandkids and family around, that's the happy place. And then some people, their happy place is out on the river fishing, right? Some people's at the campground camping, right? That's the happy place. Some people's at the ballpark watching their kids play ball, right? We've all got different happy places. And all those places are good. It's good. It's kind of just good for your soul to be in those places that make you happy, right? But as good as those places are, none of those can compare to feeling the presence of God Almighty. As good as our happy places are that we think of, none of them can compare to God's presence. I read a story of a grandmother that took her 4-year-old granddaughter to big church for the first time. And the little girl did real good. She sat quietly through the whole service. And she didn't make a peep, didn't move a muscle until the preacher started praying. And at one point he said, "We thank you, Lord, for your presence." And the little girl got excited. Her eyes flew open and she tugged on her grandmother's shoulder and said, "Granny, we're going to get presents. We're going to get presents." And Granny said, "Shh, not those kind of presents." See, when you come to church, you don't come to get gifts, right? We gave out a little gift bag because it's Father's Day. But most of the time, you don't come here. When you hear about presents, we're not talking about gifts, right? We're talking about God's presence. We're talking about the comfort that we get from knowing that God is right here with us. Now, sometimes that's an intellectual truth that we know. God is everywhere. God lives inside of the believer. So we just know that knowledge that God is with us. But other times we can actually feel God's presence. And from my experience and from talking to other people, I believe we all kind of experience different things when we feel God's presence. Right? But whatever you experience, it's wonderful. And it's kind of hard to describe because it's peaceful and yet it's overwhelming at the same time. It's like, how can it be both of those? But it is. And so maybe you haven't felt God's presence in a long time. Or maybe you're here and you've never felt God's presence. You're not sure what I'm talking about. The only thing I can say is it's hard to describe, but it's wonderful, it's beautiful. If you've ever felt God's presence, you know it. It's different than anything this world has to offer. And the thing is, we're just getting a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like when we feel God's presence here. In heaven, we're going to get to feel that feeling all the time with no limits and no distractions. There'll be no barriers between us and God. Because Jesus paid the price for our sin, when we get to heaven, we'll get to be fully in his presence with no sin separating us.
Amen.
I can't wait for that. Can you? Is anybody looking forward to heaven?
Amen.
So the writer of the psalm wrote about the beauty of God's dwelling place. He wrote that he longed and yearned for the courts of the Lord. He wrote that his heart and his flesh cried out for the living God. The writer goes on to say that even the sparrow and the swallow build their nests in the temple. Now, birds build their nests in safe places, right? You don't ever see a bird build a nest in the middle of a busy street because that's not safe. Even the birds were drawn to the temple because there's safety in the presence of God. The psalm writer writes, "How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continuously." Do you know why that statement is true? How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continuously? Because we were made for that. That's what we were made to do. That's why we're happy doing it. Now, we let a lot of things get in the way to keep us from doing that, but that's actually what we were created for, is to glorify God, to lift up His name, to point others to Him. The writer of this psalm was completely consumed with the desire to know God and to be close to God. And Hebrews 12:29 tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Love for God is meant to consume us completely. God is not meant to just be part of our lives, to occupy a space in our lives along with a whole bunch of other things, right? God is meant to occupy our entire lives. He's a consuming fire, and if we want to be happiest in this life, then we're going to run to God, we're going to pursue God with all that we have, we're going to trust God with all of our hearts, we're going to live for God with all that we have until He consumes us like a fire. That's my prayer for myself and for you, that God will just consume us with His holy fire until the things of this world don't even appeal to us anymore. Until we're like this psalm writer, we're longing for His presence. We're yearning for more of Him. So the psalm writer talks about longing. Have you ever longed for something? Do you know what he means when he writes, "I longed for the temple"? Maybe you've longed for somebody that you're separated from for a long time. Maybe you long for a place that you love, but you haven't been able to go back to for a long time. That longing, that yearning, that's a powerful feeling. And sometimes we experience longing for the things we don't have at the expense of the things that we do have. Sometimes we experience longing for the things we don't have, and it causes us to take for granted the things that we do have. William Randolph Hearst was a very wealthy newspaper publisher, and he had an incredible art collection. On one occasion, he learned of this piece of artwork that he just had to have. He just was consumed with, "I've got to get this piece of art." So he had people that worked for him that would go and hunt and find these pieces of artwork, and they would buy it for him and bring it back to him. So he sends one of his people abroad to search for this piece of art, this treasure that he wanted to have. And so after months of searching and looking, this person comes back and says, "Hey, good news, we found this piece of artwork that you want so bad." And he said, "Even better news, it's not going to cost you a dime." And so Hearst was really excited. He said, "Okay, how is this going to work?" He said, "Well, it turns out you already have it. You've got warehouses full of art pieces, and it was in a crate unopened, and we happened to open it up and find it. This thing you were desperate for, you had it the whole time." He already had what he was so desperate to get, but the desire for more had blinded him to the fact of all that he already had. And if you and I aren't careful, we'll make the same mistake. We'll run after all these different earthly treasures, and when we get one, it won't last long, and then there'll be another one we gotta have. And we'll run after it and run after it. We'll believe that they'll make us happy. But as believers, we already have everything that we need to be happy. God is not lacking. He didn't shortchange us in any way. He has blessed us and given us everything we need to experience joy and happy in Him. He's the well that never runs dry. All that we need to be happy is found in God. We can never exhaust His goodness and His love and His mercy and His grace for us. We're happiest when we're in God's presence, and He's always with us. So let's make sure that we don't let the things of the world blind us to the fact that God is with us and He's everything we need. So let's press into God with everything we have for as long as we have. We're not promised another second, so let's give every second that we have, every breath that we take, let's press into God, get as much of Him as we can. Let's be used by Him as much as we can to glorify Him as much as we can until He calls us home.
Amen.
I love this verse. Psalm 16:11 tells us, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So do you want to know true happiness? If you do, don't let anything stop you from pressing into the Lord, from knowing God. All right, let's pick back up in Psalm 84. We're going to read verses 5 through 9 now. Psalm 84, 5 through 9. "Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Lord God of armies, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob." Not only are we happiest in God's presence, we're happiest when God is our priority. We're happiest when God is our priority. This section of verses is interesting to me. It describes people that are on a pilgrimage. They're traveling through the valley of Baca, making their way to Zion or Jerusalem so they can worship at the temple. Then we're talking about the Israelites. They were on a pilgrimage, and once a year they traveled from wherever they lived to the temple to worship. Now this, for many, wasn't just a short walk down the road. This was a huge time commitment. But they each looked forward to the pilgrimage, and they made it a priority in their lives. Nothing could get in the way of it. Nothing could be allowed to stop this pilgrimage because it was important to them. Many of these people had to travel through the Valley of Baca, which means the Valley of Weeping. It was a desert place, but almost no water to be found there. And we've got a picture that just kind of represent what this might have looked like. Just a deserted area, dry. Notice the psalm writer says, as they passed through the valley of Baca, they made it a source of spring water. That doesn't look like a place where you would find spring water. That looks dry and dusty, right? The writer here is using this imagery to describe how from time to time we go through spiritual deserts. We enter these spiritual dry spells. But the one who finds their strength in God, like it says in verse 5, the one who makes God a priority and sets out on a spiritual pilgrimage to return to God will find springs of refreshment. See, spiritual dry spells, they occur in everyone's lives from time to time. And in those times, it seems like no matter what we do, we just don't feel close to God. Our spiritual lives are just lacking during this time. But it's exactly during those times that we shouldn't give up. It's during those times that we have to keep walking in faith. We may not feel God's presence, but we can rest assured that He is there. Because what does His Word tell us? His Word tells us He'll never leave us or forsake us. Whether we can feel it or not, He is with us. So during those spiritual dry spells, we just got to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Walk in faith, trust in Him, and He brings these times of refreshment. One of the most often used pictures in Scripture to communicate the relationship between Christ and the church is the marriage relationship between a man and wife. I read something this week about priorities, specifically about making marriage a priority in life. Listen to this testimony from a wife about her husband. Ella no longer remembers what the argument was about, but it began before breakfast one morning, and it continued as her husband Steve started off to work. She cried out to him, "How can you just leave like that? We haven't settled anything." And then Steve stopped, and he did what few men that are as driven and determined to succeed as him could do or would do. He picked up his phone. He canceled all his appointments for that day. And Ella said, "That right there, that one action, told me that our relationship meant more than any business meeting, and that I had married a man that would sacrifice work for love." You say, what's that got to do with Psalm 84? That husband made his marriage a priority, and his actions spoke volumes to his wife about how important she was. If he'd have just said, "Look, honey, you're important to me, we'll talk about it later," and left, that wouldn't have spoken nearly as loud as him canceling everything and saying, "Hey, we're going to solve this right now. I'm not putting anything above us." So we look at that picture, the marriage between husband and wife, and how that pictures Christ in the church. And we think, how much of a priority is God in our lives? We all got to ask ourselves, what do our actions towards God speak about how we truly feel about Him? Right? Do we just give lip service on Sunday mornings and say, "Oh God, you're important. God, I love you." But then do our actions the rest of the week tell a different story than our words did on Sunday? How much of a priority is God in my life and in your life? When we make God the priority in our lives, we will experience happiness that the world cannot match. Amen. Nothing in this world can match being close to God. We experience true, lasting joy when God is the priority in our lives. All right, let's finish reading Psalm 84 now. We're going to pick up with verse 9. Psalm 84, verse 9. "Consider our shield, God. Look on the face of your anointed one." This is a reference to the king. "Better a day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to live in the tents of wicked people. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. Happy is the person who trusts in you, Lord of armies." Lord, we thank you for your word. We are happiest when we're in God's presence. We are happiest when God is our priority. And the text this morning also tells us that we're happiest when we trust in God to provide and protect. We're happiest when we trust in God to provide for our needs. And we're happiest when we trust in God to protect us from our enemies. The text tells us that God grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. So the good that's spoken about here, this is spiritual good, right? Because we know both from what the Word of God tells us and from experience that becoming a Christian does not eliminate all of life's problems, does it? You don't become a Christian and it's smooth sailing after that. Right, the storms of life still exist. Sometimes they get harder, right? Because now we're not walking beside the devil, we're bumping into him. Because we've turned around. That's what it means to repent. To turn from my old way of living and live God's way, a new way. When we pursue God's presence and we make God the priority of our lives, God blesses that. And He blesses our lives with riches and fancy cars and big houses. No, He blesses our lives with more of His mercy, more of His grace to sustain us during our hard times. When He says, I don't withhold good, He's talking about Himself. Don't look to God for riches. Those things aren't going to last anyway, and they won't make you happy. Look to God for what He's really offering. That's Himself. That's what will truly make us happy. The psalm writer makes a direct comparison between the world and God's presence in verse 10. He writes, one day in God's courts, or God's presence, that's better than 1,000 anywhere else. Anywhere else. Fill in the blank of whatever your happy place was. Fill in the blank of whatever's on your bucket list, whatever trip you want to take, place you want to see. Anywhere else, there is one day in God's presence. Literally no other place that we can go can compare to living a life in relationship with God. So the psalm writer says he'd rather stand in the doorway of God's house than to live in the tents of the wicked. In other words, he was saying just a little bit of God is infinitely better than everything this world has to offer. Just a little bit of God is better than any person, any drug, any amount of money, any fame, any prestige, any power, any authority. It's better than all that. Being a peon in God's kingdom is better than being the king of the most powerful nation on this earth. Why? Because power and wealth and fame and sex, they all make promises that they don't back up. But God never makes a promise that He won't back up. There's another reason that being the least in the kingdom of God is better than being the king of the most powerful nation on the earth. See, every kingdom that has ever existed on this earth in the past eventually crumbles. It's eventually destroyed, right? And every kingdom that exists now or ever will exist will suffer the same fate. But Romans 14, 11, and 12 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me. Every tongue will give praise to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So on that day, it won't matter how much power or wealth or fame a person has when they stand to give an account before God. God provides all that we need, including eternal life. That's what we're going to need when we stand to give an account to God, and He has provided that through Jesus' death and resurrection. As long as we look to God as our provider, we're going to be happy. See, God is our provider, but we don't just look to Him for protection. We also we don't just look to Him for provision, we look to Him for protection. Because life, whether we know it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, life is full of spiritual battles. I read this verse just a couple of weeks ago. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the evil spiritual forces in heaven. See, we get fooled into believing that our fight is against Democrats or Republicans, or it's against blacks or whites. We get fooled into believing that any other thing that divides us, that divides human beings, we get fooled into thinking that's what the battle is. But the truth is, our battle is against the enemies of God. The devil and his demons, that's the enemy that we're fighting. And we need God's protection if we're going to win that fight.
Amen.
The psalm writer says, happy is the person through trust in the Lord. We can't lose sight of that, because when we lose sight of that, we're more prone to be defeated by the enemy. We're much more likely to feel weak and alone and hopeless when we take our eyes off of who really provides our protection. We need God's protection, and it's always there for us. But sometimes we try to fight the battle on our own. But in the midst of fighting that losing battle, the Spirit of God calls us back to Him, calls us back to the source of our protection. All we have to do is trust in Him. He's already won the battle, and now He's preparing a place for us in heaven. Before we finish up this morning, I want to briefly talk about the pilgrimage that's mentioned in Psalm 84. The Israelites took this pilgrimage to the temple each year, and that's not really something that we can relate to fully, at least not when it comes to going to worship, right? Because most of us just live a few miles from the church that we attend. So it's not a trip that requires major planning like a pilgrimage to the temple did. We just get in the car on Sunday mornings and go, right? You don't have to think about it. We just go. But in a sense, as believers, we're all on a pilgrimage. Hebrews 13:14, this is the New Living Translation, says, "For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come." Craig, I believe you spoke about that yesterday. The Christian life itself is a pilgrimage. Amen. We're on the journey towards our eternal home. That home is in heaven with God, and each day takes us a little closer to home. We were made to experience something different than this world has to offer, something better. We're missing the point entirely if we live our lives as if this world is all that there is, and that this world is all that matters. We're missing the point. We need to live with our focus on God and on heaven. He needs to be our priority. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. Your word is always good to edify and encourage us. It's good to convict us. It's good to discipline us. Your word is always good, and we're so thankful for it. I pray that you would take this word, hide it deep in our hearts, God, and I pray that we'll return to it all throughout this evening and all throughout the week. I pray that your word will just remain in our hearts and on our minds, and you continue to speak to us, God. Help us to make you a priority. Help us to long and yearn for your presence the way that so many of us long and yearn for the things of this world. God, open our eyes to what's really important. Help us to look to you for provision and protection. God, you are good, and we are happiest when we're closest to you. Help us to seek you with everything we've got for as long as we've got. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to have a time of invitation now. Brother Robert's going to lead us in singing. If you're able, stand to your feet. And this is a time of response. And so if the Spirit of God is leading you to respond in any way, you can do that at this time. You can pray to receive Christ as your Savior. I did it as a six-year-old little boy. Best decision I ever made in my life. I'd love to talk with you about that, pray with you about that. If you want to join the church, set up baptism. If you've got a question, if you've got a prayer request, anything that you want to do in response to what you've heard from God's word, this is the time that you can do that. So let's sing together. for being here. Happy Father's Day, dads. It's great to be back in God's house.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he? Amen. All the time.
God is good.
All right. Brother Craig, would you pray for us before we dismiss?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Father, we are thankful that it is because of Jesus that we are privileged to call you Heavenly Father. Everything we are and everything we hope to be is just wrapped up in Him. We thank you for His faithfulness, and He's always with us, never forsaking us. Even in the good times or bad times, Lord, you're always doing something in the lives of your people. And I ask you now, Father in heaven, to bless this assembly of saints, Pine Grove Baptist Church. Father, just make them what you want them to be in this community. There are people in this place that need Christ as their Savior. And I ask you to deal in their hearts, their souls, by the Spirit of God, and draw them, Lord, into this house, to these people, and let them see the love of God, the salvation of God, the Spirit of God in the lives of these saints. Bless their ministries. Bless, oh Lord. We've already prayed for those silent workers. Bless the pastor in his home. Put your protection and your hand upon him. And just put a flame in his heart as he preaches. Oh Lord, it is good to be in the house of God. But Lord, we're in your house every day because we are the temple of the Spirit of God. Use us, please. Help us to be lights in our culture and in our world, certainly. Our world needs to see Christians living Christ every day, every place. We bless you, Father. I pray, Father, for Sunrise Baptist Church that's even having church right now. I ask you to bless them and keep us safe as we go back to it. I love this place. It has such a great memory in my heart. In Christ's name, we pray.